Blog Talk Radio.
So, Greg, while you're doing that, I spent a good part of the week going over lots of different films that had Abraham Lincoln in it, not just the ones that were about Abraham Lincoln, and found some little gems hidden away. And there was a time in this country where there were a lot of films being made with Abraham Lincoln in the film, and not so much anymore. And that's kind of surprising until recently, when we started seeing a few more again.
And you know, it's funny, especially recently. I saw the one with oh my God, his name.
With Daniel Day-Lewis.
Thank you. Love the actor. Saw his left foot. Love the actor, but couldn't think of the name. Yeah, I thought Daniel Day-Lewis did a great job with his depiction of Lincoln. Especially aesthetically, as well as how convincing he seemed to be in the role. Let me ask you this, Larry, while we're waiting for Karen D to join us. With all the different roles and the different things that we researched and you researched, of all the different roles and the different films about Lincoln, whose role did you think was a better role, and which depiction of Lincoln was the most riveting for you? Again, I love Lincoln by Steven Spielberg's Lincoln. I thought it was really good, and me personally, like Henry Fonda in Young Mr. Lincoln. So what was riveting for you, and can you give me kind of an idea to which of the scenarios you liked?
Well, you know, that's a real good question. You know, I couldn't help but just being riveted to Daniel Day-Lewis's portrayal of Lincoln. He showed Lincoln with a lot of passion, not just this steadfast guy that mythology gives us. And I do like Young Mr. Lincoln. You know, Henry Fonda's version of Lincoln, I thought that is also fantastic. But, you know, as far as depictions go, I like the Daniel Day-Lewis one the best, but the film that captured me the most was a film that came out in, was it 1939? No, 1935. And it's called The Perfect Tribute. And and this movie stars Walter Brennan, and he's probably the biggest name actor in this film. The film is takes place the day after Lincoln makes his famous Gettysburg speech. And it surrounds around the mythology that nobody applauded, and how Lincoln was despondent afterward because nobody showed appreciation for what he was saying. And while he's walking around Washington, D.C. the next day, he meets this young boy who's desperately trying to find an attorney because his brother is dying and needs to do a last will. And so Lincoln volunteers himself to go with this young boy, and there is this mortally wounded Confederate soldier. And the Confederate soldier is all banded up. His eyes are all bandaged up. He can't see anything. And Lincoln never reveals to the young soldier who he is.
Right.
And here now this young man, this soldier, gives his last will and testament, but includes a marvelous homage to the address that Lincoln gave the day before, and how nobody doesn't get it. And if they if they did get it, the reason why they didn't applaud was they were in awe of how this man's vision for a whole country,
right, a whole country,
is etched within the peoples of both sides of the war. And in this movie, it's not a great film, but if you like movies with a good ending and like movies that are a little bit like heartstrings, this one is it, and it pulls them well.
I think just like anything, part of the problem with Lincoln back then is trying to pull the country together. And for it being able to be depicted in the film, it's just amazing. Give me one second, you guys. I'm still trying to get Karen D here. Hold on just a moment, and I'll get her in here.
Well, while you're doing that,
yeah,
let me just...
Please help me out, Larry. Go ahead.
Because while you're doing that, let me just say that in 1991, there was another movie also called The Perfect Tribute. But this is more about leading up to the speech at Gettysburg and what Lincoln went through. And it's a much better film. Technically, it's a much better film. But when you see the two of them together and you see the before and the after, it really makes a strong statement again, because these are, in fact, a perfect tribute, especially together, to a man who some agree was the greatest president our country has ever had.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to go with The Perfect Tribute, especially if you're looking at both films, both of them, and the 1935 along with the 1991 version. What was the 98? I think it's that one. So, 1991, yeah. So, I honestly recommend it to anyone, especially if you're if you like Lincoln in film.
Now, for me, I really enjoyed going back in time and you went into the 30s, going back into young Mr. Lincoln with Henry Fonda. One of the cool things, let me kind of preclude this, one of the cool things about the different depictions of Lincoln is finding actors who are willing to go through that metamorphosis to look a lot like the character of Lincoln that we know from pictures, historical pictures. And it was very interesting to me to see the different structures, the different actors. Seemingly, the majority of the actors that I was able to view did a pretty good job in being convincing as Abraham Lincoln. But I really liked the kind of subtle kind of backwoods, quote-unquote, if I could say that, nature and good nature of what we understand about the legend of Abraham Lincoln as a young man, as a young lawyer, which is what we get in Young Mr. Lincoln. I thought Fonda did a really good job in that. Like to go to, do we have you on the line, Karen D?
Yes, I do. I'm so sorry. I've run into major technical issues. Nothing was working right, so I really apologize.
Nothing to apologize for. Just glad to have you with us. And I do apologize to everybody out there. The main theme of our focus today was actually presented by Karen D, so we wanted to make sure that we gave her the opportunity to come in on the phone line with us. So now that you've been able to kind of gather yourself for the moment, Karen, what can you do to give us something insightful regarding what you thought about when you actually came up with the theme and some of the better depiction of Lincoln that you were able to review?
Well, I guess for me, I came at it from a little bit different perspective. When I first thought about this, it was because of just news reports just mentioning the observation of the 150th anniversary on April 14th of Abraham Lincoln's assassination. And I remember when Steven Spielberg's Lincoln was presented in the movie theaters, I made it a point to go see it the first weekend it was out because I thought it was an extremely important film. And when I remembered that, this anniversary, it's 150 years, so, extremely important anniversary. And I thought, well, there must be a lot of movies to check out about the assassination, its impact on America, and that sort of thing. And when I went looking for films, I for one, was surprised at the absence of major film treatments of the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. There really aren't that many that deal with the assassination. And actually, in my opinion, most of the better treatments, thematic treatments of Lincoln, aren't really in the film arena. They're in the television arena. There have been a number of miniseries and other like TV movies, TV programs that have tackled the assassination of Abraham Lincoln, and just not that much in the way of major film treatments. And I'm not sure why that is. What comes to mind is The Conspirators, that dealt with the aftermath of the assassination, and it was a somewhat controversial movie. I thought it was very well done. I really enjoyed that movie. That movie didn't focus so much on the Lincoln assassination as so much as what happened afterwards, and it really focused on Mary Surratt and the focus on her as a conspirator and whatever efforts were made to help John Wilkes Booth get away from being held accountable for the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. But it was just a very interesting way of looking at how women were treated in those days and how people who violated the law were treated, how people who sympathized with the Union were treated versus people who sympathized with the Confederacy. So that, I think, from whether you agree with the film, quote-unquote, or not, and Robert Redford's direction of it, I thought it was an interesting take on that time period when we don't necessarily have a lot of cinematic insights into what really happened around that time.
Karen, what's interesting is The Conspirator came out in 2010. It's actually a well done film. Technically, as far as films go, this movie has everything it needs to be a far better than average film, even to be a very, very good film, as opposed to a movie that came out in 1977 called The Lincoln Conspiracy, which really just centers around John Wilkes Booth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think The Conspirator does a far better job. It's a better movie than the one that came out in 77, but it also does a better job at getting into the different feelings that the nation was going through at the time. And I'm glad you brought that one up, The Conspirator.
Yeah, and I guess to me, I mean, like even I love Lincoln the movie, but the movie did not deal with the assassination really, except for the end where it was an event, which was basically the gateway for Steven Spielberg to end the film. And I guess the other thing that I've noticed too, to me, why I wanted to bring this up for discussions, because to me, as a film character, to me, Lincoln still is more of an icon than a human. And I think that's why Spielberg's movie is so important, because I thought that was the most human, the human that I've ever seen. And I saw, Young Mr. Lincoln with Henry Fonda. I saw Abe Lincoln in Illinois with Raymond Massey. I really like both of those films. Those are examples. Certainly, I mean, the Lincolns in those movies were written as almost saintly characters with a couple of foibles just for interest, but not much in the way of foibles, because it was like, he already belonged to the ages. He was just sort of set down among us to do this great thing, and then he went back off to, to the ethos or the stratosphere or wherever it was he came from.
And that's interesting, because in the books that have been written about Lincoln, most of them are based upon conjecture and mythology. Even so many of them that are supposed to be the hardcore facts about who Lincoln really was, when you dig down deep into them, you'll realize that, no, this is still based upon a story somebody once told, around the fireplace. And so in one way, and this is one of the reasons why I did like Daniel Day-Lewis's portrayal of Lincoln, was he used the mythology to help him with the character, but the story was more about what Lincoln was really going through at that time of our country's So, there's a nice balance in the proper way of both of those things in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree, Larry. There's just, and maybe part of the problem is that, Lincoln is just sort of, Lincoln the man, it's sort of saddled with being the president at the time of this great division, this, larger-than-life division where the country was literally torn asunder, brother against brother. And so maybe it makes it difficult to treat him as a human, because somehow he managed to, fashion things so that the Union was preserved, and that's just a larger-than-life task. But I think viewing, there's certainly the technology available to learn a lot more of what he was really like. I mean, the man was born in the 1800s. I think we have better film treatments of people who were born far earlier than we do of Lincoln, or more grounded, not necessarily better, more grounded treatments of people that were born earlier than Lincoln. Lincoln is still sort of shrouded in mystery, and I'm not quite sure why, except for
I think one reason is mythical circumstances. I think that he's so much has been a part of the American mythos that we tend to say, oh yeah, but that's not a good story. You know, when you get down to the brass tacks of who this person really was. But I tend to agree with you, though, in that what makes him heroic was that he was human. You know, he wasn't some, you know, some demigod that fell from the sky. You know, he was a human. He had tragedy throughout his life. And he was thrown into a situation that would have just driven most people crazy, and yet he was still able to maintain, you know, some semblance of what the big picture was. And he didn't do that because there was mythology written about him. He did that because he was a man at the right time at the right place.
Right.
A man,
and
a
I
human
think he was
being.
Trying. He was trying to manage a really horrific situation. I mean, he had a goal, preserve the Union. And so what was the way? In a lot of ways, he was extremely pragmatic about that goal. So he mm-hmm. put up with, you know, General Grant, who had to have been extremely difficult to deal with, but also brilliant. You know, he put up with Seward, you know, again,
yeah.
difficult, but also brilliant. He put, you know, there was a lot of stuff that he... That he put, you know, he put up with his wife. He put up, you know, he dealt with, all kinds of other people who operated across purposes, or maybe thought they were helping him but really weren't, or were trying not to help him. Put up with all kinds of things, but he was just very focused on that goal and.
You know, it's interesting. He was focused on that goal and of preserving the Union. And I think that there's, outside of his own writings, which, you know, even the book that Doris Kearns does, she leaves out some of his writings that are very important, that where he writes down his own thoughts and feelings about, you know, what he's about to get into, what he's currently into, and then how do you stay the course through. And it's interesting, but, you know, he really never thought he would see the end, you know,
mm-hmm.
even if the war got resolved and everything. He really never thought he would see the end. And, you know, in some ways, in the ways where he found important, in the big picture ways, we still haven't seen the end to what his vision is.
Right.
And
no, we haven't. We still talk about the South and the North and the Yankees and the you know, the Southerners or the, you know, Sons of Liberty versus whatever, or, you know, and it's still, I mean, it's kind of half joking, but kind of half not, and it's like the Capulets and the Montagues all over again.
Yeah, and you know, you take a film, you know, like one of the earlier ones there, you know, Birth of a Nation,
mm-hmm. where he was demonized, basically.
Well, very much so, and technically, and I mean this, ladies and gentlemen, from a technical point of view, Birth of a Nation is a good film.
Yes, it is.
But it's so politically weighed to one side of the discussion that we see something that in retrospect is very sad and very ugly and because what it's showing is the ugly underbelly of what Lincoln wasn't able to fix.
Well, and yeah, I think part of the reason that Lincoln wasn't able to fix it was because in a lot of ways he didn't want to take that head on. He very clearly said in a number of speeches, and that's the stuff that you don't hear about. I think Spielberg kind of alluded to it, but not directly enough for my taste. But Lincoln was not at all against segregation. He thought segregation was a good idea, and he has very clearly said in speeches that he thought that the quote-unquote Negro race was inferior to the white race, and that, you know, that things would work out just fine if the races were separate. But
remember,
this notion of that somehow you have like this, that you have this institution of slavery, that was repugnant, but segregation wasn't, and neither was the notion that somehow black people were supposed to be inferior. He was in agreement with that.
And remember too, before he became president, he was a politician, you know,
right,
and needed to say things in a way that would help get him votes.
Right.
And help get him noticed. I mean, if you take a look at his rise through the first year of that Republican Party, he was not even in the horse race at the beginning of that convention. You know, and if it wasn't for his quick thinking and a friend of his working at the Tribune and then putting together the whole thing of all of his speeches and having that distributed around in Chicago, around the, around the room so that everybody had a copy of it, who knows what would have happened. If you take a look at his speeches, you're right. His words are chosen very carefully. He is a surgeon, and he is taking each word, and each word means something. And sometimes that word has two or three meanings, depending on who you are and where you're, and from where are you listening to the speech.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Before we get out of here, we're pretty close to the end of the show, guys. Going back to the theme for just a moment, I just wanted to kind of throw this in there. Not just for us to discuss, and maybe we'll discuss it later too, but also for the listeners out there, another really good film, more toward the point of the assassination, which is Killing Lincoln, made back in 2013. And this is kind of a docudrama. It's narrated by Tom Hanks, and it's pretty much based on a New York best-selling novel. It's relatively suspenseful, but it's very eye-opening with regard to what really surrounded the assassination of the 16th president. Just wanted to throw that in there because we've only got about 2 minutes left. So, Larry, Karen, kind of your final thoughts regarding the subject, which we'll probably have to revisit, sounds like. This is a lot deeper subject than we had anticipated. We just wanted to make sure we were trying to do some due diligence toward the 150th anniversary. So, Karen, why don't you give us a minute, and Larry, why don't you give us a minute?
Okay. Well, I guess I would just wrap things up by saying I think there's a lot more to learn about Lincoln, about the assassination. I think Spielberg's treatment of Lincoln doesn't close the door, but opens the door to more insightful, thoughtful examination, and especially in these days when we worry about terrorism, religious hatred, as well as racial hatred and just, you know, lots of hatred. I think Lincoln's writings, Lincoln's speeches, how Lincoln navigated extraordinary conflict can help inform us in the 21st century still. And so that's why I think maybe as a subject, he deserves more exploration, especially in this day and time, not less.
Okay, Larry, you got about 25 seconds, actually.
Well, all I can say is I agree with Karen. I think what we have here is a subject matter where it becomes important for us to not only remember Lincoln, you know, the myth of Lincoln, but to see that through the facts and then see how much greater he was in his real life rather than in the mythological world that our cultures have given him.
Yeah, Well, thanks, everybody. Larry, Karen, I appreciate your comments and your thoughts about, insights about a Lincoln president. For everyone out there, thanks again for listening to A Real Point of View. Come visit us on arealpointofview.com. Visit us at, of course, Blog Talk Radio. We have some archive shows there, as well as if you have any comments or questions, give us a tweet at A Real Movie Guy on Twitter, and also A Real Point of View on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, everybody, and make sure you get out there to the movies, everybody. Good night.
Peace.
Peace.